Your daily dose of sports talk is here. Highlights, interviews, and analysis. From the entertainment capital of the world, Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
And we welcome you to this Friday edition of the show with a lot to do over the next 60 minutes. Glad you're joining us all across the U.S. and Canada on over 260 affiliates. And, you know, I count myself as very fortunate to do what I do every day for a living and talking about sports. But I'm especially fortunate for you, the audience, because you guys tune in every day. You tune into our YouTube channel, Sports Wrap Shorts, all of that. And I just wanted to say at the outset of today's show on this Friday, thank you. We've been lucky enough to do this for about 2.5 years now. And count ourselves as very lucky to be able to do it every day. So thank you to all of you that watch from wherever you watch, those of you that reach out and message me. It's fantastic to have you, and we appreciate you being here. We will be joined by our usual suspects today. Tino Patino will be here to talk NASCAR later on in the show, preview this weekend's race in Las Vegas, where I am based. So obviously always a fun weekend when NASCAR comes to town. Robert Latal will be here. The founder of Black Sports Online joins us every Friday on the show to talk about some of the top stories in sports. And we got a special surprise guest today. Patrick McEnroe is here. ESPN tennis commentator, TNT tennis commentator. You see him during all the Grand Slams. Of course, the International Tennis Hall of Fame president. You hear him on weekends on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Radio. I want to start today talking about something here in the big story that we're going to get. Matter of fact, let's just cue it up. It's time for the big story. And the big story today emanates from the NBA. And, you know, I've come to the conclusion of something. This is kind of, I'm sorry, it's a bit of a downer to start the show this way today. But you know what this week has taught me? And in sort of reflecting on sports in general in recent years has taught me, we can't have nice things anymore. Sports fans can't have nice things. We can't have great moments because they always get spoiled by the loud minority, the very loud minority, that likes to take the shine off anything cool. And you know what? To a degree, I'm part of the problem. I want to raise my hand up right now. I am part of this problem because I work in an industry where negativity sells. You know, when I worked in the Bay Area for years, we used to say, you know, the Warriors being great for as long as they were, it wasn't a good thing for sports talk because what are you going to do? There's nothing to talk about. When teams are bad, there's a lot to dig into and a lot of branches off it. When teams are winning, nobody's complaining. It's bad for sports talk. We are part of the problem, okay? Me, Jason Page, sports radio, and now sports television host. We are part of the problem because we can't have nice things. Now, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is playing his mind off. He cannot be playing any better than he is right now. And you see him on the screen because last night he broke Wilt Chamberlain's consecutive games with 20 points or more. He scored a bunch of big buckets down the stretch, and the Thunder beat the Celtics, who are going to be right there, I think, when we get to the end of the Eastern Conference road. But you had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander out there and his teammates are celebrating and it's great. And it made me think about Bam Adebayo this week. And Bam Adebayo scoring 83 points. And the immediate reaction to Bam Adebayo's 83 points should have been the everlasting reaction to Bam Adebayo scoring 83 points. And that is, wow! Because you're probably never going to see anything like that again in your lifetime. Instead, what was it? It was an entire week of people being pissed off, faux outrage, trying to find anything they can do to lift their leg and pee on the fire hydrant. That was Bam Adebayo scoring 83 points. What is it that possesses us to be this way? Why can't we just enjoy nice things? Take the W, as some people would say. You know, take the win. We just can't. We are endlessly trying to find things to be pissed off about. World Baseball Classic. You've got this amazing tournament going on. It's every 3 years. You have Team USA out there doing everything they can to try and, you know, get to the next round. And look, are all the best players playing? No. Should they be? Should Tarik Skubal be, you know, getting out there and saying he wants to play more? Maybe. And I don't have a problem if you want to have that conversation. But the overall theme and the vibe around this World Baseball Classic has been nothing short of fantastic. With the Italian team out there going 4-0 in pool play, and every time they hit a home run, doing a shot of espresso. These are things we should be celebrating. This is what we should be talking about. Instead, it's, the U.S., they backed their way in. What a disappointment. They're through to the next round. And now the tournament really begins in earnest. And we'll find out, you know, if the Dominican Republic is as great as we all think they are. But back to Bam. Scores 83 points. Has this amazing performance. This record-setting game. And all we've done for the last 3 days is take a dump on it. And that's a problem. I even think back, I'll even go back further. But what, a decade ago to Derek Jeter. Ended his Yankee career. Line drive, base hit. Yankees win on a Derek Jeter walk-off hit at Yankee Stadium. Oh my God, it's his final game at Yankee Stadium. It's amazing. Everybody goes crazy. And what was the comments the next day? Well, was it Buck Showalter and the pitcher grooving a pitch to him so that he could have that moment? No, just accept the win. Enjoy the moment. We cannot do it in sports anymore. We can't do it with anything. There's no joy because there's always a counter to that joy. And in some regards, it's us. We're the problem. Stephen A. Smith's the problem. Colin Coward's the problem. Dave Portnoy's the problem. Jason Whitlock's the problem. Dan Dakich is the problem. We're all part of the problem. Mad Dog Russo's the problem. We can't just take things and enjoy them and talk about them in that moment in a joyful way. It has to be, how can we dig into this in a way that's going to get us clicks, likes, follows, whatever it may be. I want to try to be better. I can't promise I'll always get it right, but I'm going to try to be better. That's my point of the big story. We're coming back. Patrick McEnroe hangs out with us next. Welcome back to the show. Surprise guest on the program today. Late addition to the lineup. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, in all his splendor, Patrick McEnroe.
Why is it a surprise? What's the surprise?
Because it wasn't like...
You hadn't promoted it?
I promoted it yesterday on the show, but you're not typically with us on a Friday. You're not typically... All we right. don't get you on as much during the non-majors. So right. It's kind of different. I'd have you on every day.
You sent me a message on X, I guess, in the last week or so, like, when are you coming on here? I'm like, when have I never said I'm not coming on? When you ask me to come on, I come on. Period, end of story. Yeah. You're my guy.
I did call you out on X. And I wasn't calling you out in a bad way, by the way.
No, you weren't. But
I wasn't calling you out in a bad way.
Well, anyway, we're here. I am out in the desert, your old hometown. So I've been out here for the tournament. It's getting very hot the last couple days in the mid-afternoon. So very toasty, as I like to say, in mid 90s, but you know, it's the desert, so everyone's loving it.
You hitting balls yet? I know you're recovering from the rotator cuff. You hitting balls
very,
or what?
Very gently, Jason. I started hitting a little bit. There's a local club that I belong to back home in New York that has squash courts, and I hit on the squash court with the softer tennis balls. So that's how I've been starting to hit. I've done a few clinics out here. I've been on the court a bunch of times, hitting a little bit left-handed. I can hit a lot left-handed, and then I can hit a little bit right-handed. So it's coming around. I'm doing my rehab, but it's been quite a process. Over 5.5 months so far since my surgery.
Yeah, rotator cuff surgery at your age, and I'm not trying to make fun of you, but like that's a tough thing to recover from. I would imagine that's a difficult process. All right. I want to get your thoughts on it. We'll do the tennis mostly in the next segment, but I want to get your thoughts on a couple big things going on that I'm sure you'll be talking about on your own show. Patrick McEnroe, by the way, on SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio on Saturday mornings. You can catch him there. Also on ESPN and TNT during the majors. Also the president of the International Tennis Hall of Fame. Okay, I got it all in.
Well, yeah, you forgot running the John McEnroe Tennis Academy.
Well, so okay. I mean, how many things we doing?
Job,
yeah,
se,
that's not a public job.
That's actually the job where I spend most of my time. Okay. You know, when I'm home in New York, I'm at the academy all the time. But I am on the road quite a bit. But it's a
this
huge
is why
program.
We can only get him on once in a while because he's too damn busy. See,
I got a few gigs I got going. I got to keep paying those tuition bills. You know.
Yes, you and our friend Tim Walsh. So let's get into it on the Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, which I talked about in the big story today. Your thoughts on this record, because I think it's a bigger record than people are making a big making it out to be. Like 127 straight games of 20 plus points, not Jordan, not Kobe, not Shaq, not, you know, any of these great players. It's this guy, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, one of the most unheralded MVPs or stars, I feel like, of our generation who does it. How do you put it into context with the great records that we've seen in sports?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think when you talk about SGA, underappreciated in my view. I mean, how good this guy is. I mean, and you see what he's doing in crunch time in the playoffs last year. You see what he did. I think it was earlier this week when he hit the shot at the buzzer to win that one. And the consistency, and everybody complains of, oh, he's, you know, he gets the calls from the refs and he's, you know, he gets fat, he go in the line so much. Well, guess what? That's part of being a great scorer. I mean, Michael Jordan, no one was better than Jordan at doing that, or Kobe. So I think this guy doesn't get the credit. I don't know. Is it because he's an OKC? Is it because he's, you know, he's Canadian? Is it because he's, you know, doesn't talk that much trash? He's just kind of like an understated guy. But I think that that consistency is really remarkable. I mean, to be able to do that night in, night out, especially in this era where a lot of the best players in basketball are taking games off. You know, that's, and I know he's young, but still to be able to get this done and do it consistently over time, 20 plus every single game, is remarkable.
I'm going to throw a guy out at you that he sort of reminds me of in terms of his understated nature, in terms of how quiet he is, but just brings it every night. Reminds me of Tim Duncan. Totally different players.
Right.
But you never heard a peep out of Tim Duncan. But every night he just brought it. Every night he brought his best.
I thought when you started to lead into, I thought you were going to say Oscar, but that's going way back, the great Oscar.
That
but
is going
you're
way
right.
Back.
I mean, Tim Duncan's guy was just about winning, right? Just about getting it done. Again, understated, but a determination that he had, which is what SGA has. You know, this guy's. He's a killer on the basketball court, you know, with the way he's looking at the ball. Yeah. He's looking at what's going around. You know, he's just got that eye. So I love him. I think that is an incredible achievement, even bigger than what we saw earlier this week with Bam getting 83, which I didn't have a problem with, by the way. I mean, everybody, you know, bitching and moaning about that.
You don't
that.
Have any, you know, problem with it? You don't think it's
really.
Even slightly
no,
manufactured?
I mean, no, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, you know, in tennis, if something similar happened, let's say you were, you know, a bunch of aces in a row and you're up 40, you know, up 40 love, and you know, it's like go for a huge serve on the second serve. If you double fault, so what? Go for it again if you're trying to get, you know, some sort of record. So I, you know, it, to me, it's the other team could have done, you know, more to prevent him from getting, they tried to, they fouled him like crazy and they tried to, but, so no, I don't have a huge issue with that.
43 free throw attempts in the game, 43 free throw attempts in a game. Is there a record in tennis that when we talk about the great records, I'm not talking about overall majors one, that's obviously the big one, but is there a record in tennis, you know, something within a match or something that you can think about or harken back to that would serve as an equivalent between what we've seen, some of the things in the NBA this week?
Well, I mean, the biggest record to try to accomplish in tennis is to win the Grand Slam.
Sure.
That's to win all four in the same year. And as great as this era has been with some of the great the greatest players ever on the men's and women's side. Nobody's, you know, other than Steffi Graf, right? You know, Serena was two matches away. She'd had this Serena slam, so she held all four. But at the U.S. Open that one year, you know, she got upset in the semifinals. Djokovic a few years ago got upset in the final at the U.S. Open against Medvedev, who's having a little bit of a resurgence out here in the desert. So that's the biggest one. And when it comes to, like, you know, the game within the game. So that would be something like, hey, this player, you know, made no unforced errors in the match. Velander had a match that he played. I actually interviewed him here at one of our Hall of Fame events. You know, he won six majors. And, well, once he won Paris in the French Open against Henri Leconte in the final, and he missed, I believe, one serve in the entire match.
Patrick McEnroe's hanging out with us. He's going to hang out for one more segment. I want to get his thoughts on a whole bunch of other stuff, including the BNP Paribas, which is set up for the dream final. If you go out there, the dream final you'd want is Sinner and Alcaraz. Well, they could get it. We'll talk about that and more with Patrick McEnroe as we continue. Patrick McEnroe is hanging out with us from the BNP Paribas out in my old stomping grounds, the Coachella Valley, where it's hot. I was trying to get out there this weekend. My husband vetoed it.
Yeah.
I was trying. I wanted to go out there.
We would have loved to have you. It's been an awesome tournament. Traffic crazy. As you said, you know, semifinal lineups. Actually, women play today, this afternoon. You still got Sabalenka and Rybakina, so it could be a rematch. Speaking of, you know, great potential finals of the final in Australia, and Sinner, both Sinner and Alcaraz have looked awesome. I mean, we keep asking the same question: is anyone going to threaten these guys? The answer is no, you know, at the moment. But you've got two of the veterans, kind of, you know, playing well this year. Zverev, who's had a very good start to the year, so he takes on Sinner. And then Medvedev, who's really had a bounce back the last couple of months, he's in the semifinals against Alcaraz. And by the way, I looked up ChatGPT, which can be wrong at times.
Yes.
But I think it just looks good. If you go pre-open year, you got to go way back to the 20s, Suzanne Longlin and Bill Tilden. Over years and years, they had consecutive match win streaks, 98 for Bill, 182 for Suzanne Longlin, the great flying French woman. But in the open era, which is since 1968, that's when, you know, modern pro tennis started. Actually, Bjorn Borg leads on the men's side with 49 in 78. Then you have Vilas, who won, I believe, for both those guys, they were all on clay. Vilas, 46 matches in 77. Then Djokovic did it twice, 43. Match win streak at 10 and 11. Federer also did it twice for 41 consecutive in 06 and 07. Martina Navratilova leads on the women's side with 74 consecutive match wins.
Wow. So that's
pretty solid.
That is stunning. Before we get to the tennis, real quick, thoughts on the World Baseball Classic. The U.S. sneaks in thanks to Italy. And now we get to the quarterfinals and it gets really fun. But to me, the story of this thing has been how passionate, you know, the fan bases have been and the players have been for everybody except the United States. I feel like the U.S. is just kind of, hey, it's nice to be on this team. It's nice to wear the uniform. But are they as passionate about it as the Dominican Republic or Mexico or Venezuela? And I think the answer is no.
The answer is no, and part of the reason is because essentially, you know, we as American baseball players have always dominated, and now that's starting to change, right? As there's getting more and more, we see the superstars in MLB where they're from. Many of them are from Japan or the DR, and as those countries get more and more players, you know, we still have the most best players in baseball. I think that starts to change. It's a little bit like, you know, basketball, you're seeing more in the NBA, you know, the European players, not dominate, but certainly some of the best players are European. I liked what they did at the NBA All-Star game, playing the Europeans against the Americans. I think that, to me, gets my attention. I mean, I obviously come from a sport that's very international and having, you know, traveled the world in tennis my whole life. I think that, you know, that creates interest when it's country against country, particularly as the other countries catch up to us. And we, for our part, you know, caught up to the Canadians in hockey, right? You still say the Canadian men's hockey overall is a little stronger, but now us winning the gold medal, you know, Canada will come back much more intense the next time the Olympics come around. I think for us, it's similar. You know, if we lose in the Olympic basketball, let's say, for example, all of a sudden that's going to get peak, I think, the average fan's interest a little bit more. And I think that's sort of what's happening with baseball.
Patrick McEnroe hanging out with us, does a great job with ESPN and TNT, also the International Tennis Hall of Fame, where he is the president, Sirius XM Mad Dog Radio on Saturday mornings, where he'll be doing his show from out there in the desert. Boy, it'll be really early when you do the show
I got to get up early for that. Yeah. That's no fun.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the rest of this tournament here. You know, we get a Sinner Alcaraz set up. You know, we're in the semis. We got them both there. Is there anything that stops them from meeting in the final?
Probably not. Although I would probably give Zverev a better chance, you know, to pull the upset against Sinner. Because, you know, he's got the huge serve. He's playing well all year. He had Alcaraz on the ropes, you know, down in Australia. And Alcaraz, you know, was able to kind of work his way back, suffering cramps and coming back and winning it in the fifth set. But Zverev's played well. I mean, he's trying to be more offensive, more consistently. He's been in these situations before. So has Medvedev, but I just don't think Medvedev matches up as well against Alcaraz, say, as Zverev does with the big serve and the groundies. But both Sinner and Alcaraz have been dominant. I mean, Sinner destroyed Lerner Tien, the young American, who I love. You know, he had beaten Shelton.
Yeah.
He's a lefty from Southern Cal. I thought he would give Sinner a better match, but Sinner just came out and just took it to him and just hitting the ball so big, so clean. He's got a little something to prove because he's, you know, the end of last year was phenomenal for him, but losing as he did to Djokovic, that surprised a lot of us in Australia. So he's coming with a little bit more, I think, of an edge right now because Alcaraz has clearly been the best player, hasn't lost a match thus far this year.
And in some regards, it's almost more impressive to me that these guys could meet in a tournament, a 2-week tournament that's best of three. Because you can get lucky and get hot and grab two sets from these guys. In the majors, it's almost impossible to beat them in a best of five. But in a best of three, you could pick off a Sinner or Alcaraz, you would think. And the fact that they're both on their way potentially to the final, in some regards, it's almost more impressive.
You know, I think you're somewhat right. I wouldn't say you can get lucky and beat them, but you can get hot.
You can get hot.
Yes. If you're a really, really good player, it's definitely more possible, more likely you could pick them off in 2 out of 3. The conditions here change a lot based on the weather, based on if you play during the day or at night. So that's like sort of an X factor. It could be windy here. So all those different things can create upsets. But the way these two are playing and the heat's supposed to be it's going to be on all weekend. So it's going to be in the mid to high 90s once these matches are played here. So that means the ball's jumping. That means things are moving. So, Sinner was affected by, they were both affected by the heat, which is much more intense heat in Australia than here. So that's also a possibility. But the answer to your question is these two guys are so damn good, Jason. And having spent, you know, much of my week out here talking to people and about sort of the history of the game and coming off of these three all-time greats. And now these two guys are just raising the bar in a way that none of us expected would happen this quickly and this impressively and this emphatically.
Patrick McEnroe, International Tennis Hall of Fame. I'm going to hold him for the podcast version of the show and talk to him a little bit more. For those on TV, though, say bye-bye to Patrick. Enjoy the BMP. We'll talk to you soon, Patrick.
You got it. Thanks for having me, Jason. All the best.
Welcome back to the show. This guy joins us every Friday in the show. I am overbooked today, so I apologize in advance to Robert Latal, founder of Black Sports Online. Only get one segment today. Normally he would get two, but we're overbooked. That's what happens when everybody says
yes. That's a good thing.
Everybody says yes. Never happens that way.
Want to talk to you.
Nah, I don't know about that. Just got lucky. So a couple things I want to get into with you while I have the time. Let's talk about this amazing feat from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And I have to be honest, of all the great scorers that have played in the game, I'm shocked nobody else had done this previously, especially in this era of the NBA where there's so much more scoring. I'm shocked nobody had done this. When we talk about records in the NBA, where do you put this one?
It should be higher, you would think. You know, you think more people should be talking about it because, you know, it only takes one twisted ankle, one off shooting night, you know, to have, I mean, 20 points is a lot of points in the NBA to average. But to score every night, I feel like it should be getting more attention. It's a Wilt record. Anytime a Wilt record goes but I don't know. I just feel like it just wasn't celebrated the same as some other records lately that have been talked about. And I really don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get it either. To me, it's, you know, it's one of those things where it is the mark of consistency. And that is what SGA has been here, really, over the last few seasons. And he is really putting on the push now to sort of seal up another MVP award with the way he's played here lately, hitting a lot of game-winning shots. We know he's one of the most clutch players in the league. He's really been something special, Robert.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we're in a good time in the NBA, even though a lot of people complain about the product and the networks and the streaming and all of that stuff. But for the actual like players, the prime players, you know, what I always say between, you know, 23 and 30, you know, it's really a good time, you know, for an NBA fan.
I want to get your thoughts on Bam Adebayo. I have a few extra minutes here with you. A lot of people, you know, the longer this is soaked in, it's become more, it's sort of festered. You know, at first it was wow, and then it was wow, but now it's just but, it feels like, when it comes to Bam Adebayo's 83-point performance. I've heard everybody else's take. What was yours?
Well, you know, first of all, I think people take certain things too personal, right? And they, you know, if you don't agree with their opinion, you're a loser, you're in your mom's basement, everybody's fighting, somehow it becomes racial at a certain point and everything. And this really, to me, has nothing to do with Bam personally or Asia or his mom or whatever, all of that stuff that people are talking about. It's simply the last 5 minutes wasn't ethical hoops. I mean, it didn't sit right with me. Everything up to that point, I was cool with. It was amazing. He had 70 points. You know, I think going into the third quarter, I started watching the game at halftime. But just what happened at the end did not seem natural to me. It didn't seem like basketball to me. And I feel like when you're breaking a record, yeah, that's going to be any time a scoring record, there's going to be some sort of stat padding.
Manufacturing.
Get that. Yeah. But the intentional fouls, the jacking up the slowing down the game, I just had to be honest with people. It didn't sit right with me, even though I have nothing against Bam, and it does. And, you know, it didn't bother me for the rest of my day that he went past Kobe. I mean, I'm sure Kobe, if he had a chance, would have done it too.
Yeah, Magic City Night. They canceled it in Atlanta. I've seen a lot of various sort of writers up in arms about it. You know, the way it all sort of transpired with the pressure coming from the league, first coming from a couple of players. Mm-hmm. What did you make of the league getting involved here and this whole thing in Atlanta being canceled?
Here's my issue with it. Like, I get it. I mean, it's a strip club. So, I mean, we can't just, you know, gloss over the fact that, you know, a team is promoting, you know, a strip club. I can see where some people get up in arms in that. But, you know, they also promote gambling, you know, heavy drinking. You know, someone like Luke Kornet, you know, comes out and write a blog about it. But I don't ever recall Luke Kornet speaking about any other women's issues, any black issues, any political issues. I don't remember any of that. It's the picking and choosing of what to be outraged about, which has bothered me. I mean, this was something local. This is something to Atlanta. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. It wasn't like they were going to have pole dances at halftime. It was wings, some cool T-shirts, and, you know, some fun with it. I didn't think it was a big deal. And I think there's bigger deals in the NBA and in sports in general. What's going on with it? It took them 5 minutes to shut that down. What's going on with Kawhi and his tree trimming?
It's not like they replaced Red Panda with a pole dancer in center court.
Yeah, and then look, every team has dances, and I've been to my fair share of NBA games. It's not like they wearing, you know, long sweat, you know, shirts and sweatpants. I mean, you know, the Lakers dancers literally had a documentary about them, and it wasn't just because, you know, they were knitting at halftime.
I thought you were going to say you had been to your share of, like, gentlemen's clubs. That would have been a more interesting headline.
I was a young man. I never understood that because, and I'm not trying to get nobody in trouble here.
No.
But why are you giving your money away for no product? You know what I mean? It's like going to the grocery store, paying for your groceries, looking at your groceries, maybe tasting a grape, you know, not the whole thing. You taste a grape, and then you go home. It's like, where's the rest of my grapes? Where's my apples? Where's my cereal? You know, I just took a taste.
I don't know if grapes would be.
Groceries. I'm not sure. I spent $150 on groceries, and I'm still hungry.
I'm not sure if it's grapes or cantaloupes or oranges or if we're using the wrong fruit here. I'm just saying. If they're grapes, you're going to the wrong.
$150, I need my grapes.
If they're grapes, you're going to the wrong gentleman's club. That would be my suggestion. Robert Littal, the founder of Black Sports Online. On that note, we will say have a wonderful weekend. Next week, we'll get you back on. For a couple of segments. Be well, my friend.
I appreciate it. We're losing recipes, like Michael Irvin say.
Odds and Ends wraps it up in 10 minutes, but time to talk NASCAR, because if it's a Friday, it's a NASCAR Friday, and Tino Patino is here, ladies and gentlemen. Pennzoil 400 in Las Vegas, where I am. Can I divulge something?
Yes.
You're going to crush me for this. I was just crushing you for something off air. You're going to crush me on air for this. I'm not going to the race.
Well, I won't crush you too hard because your good race buddy isn't going with you. How about that?
Yeah, I know. I need a Sunday, man. I need a Sunday. So I'll be watching from home, but I'm not going to the race. They're even having like a media luncheon today and free food, and I'm still not going. I'm not even going for the free food. Normally you just go at least for the free food. I'm not even going for the free food.
Well, that part is true. They do have great free food, which makes it even greater. There is always Vegas in the fall.
I'm definitely going to Vegas in the fall. I will commit to that now. All right, let's talk about this. Before we get into this race, we finally had somebody named Tyler Reddick not win a race last week, and that was Ryan Blaney who got the win. So before we get into this race, give me your thoughts on what transpired in Phoenix with Blaney getting the win.
It was another domination race by Ryan Blaney, and it was dominant in the fact that he had to come back from 2 to 3 pit road mistakes or penalties driving through the field. That's something that we see not many drivers capable of doing with this next-gen car, right? There was a lot of talk in the recent years about blocking and aero blocking and how that affects the ability to pass drivers, but not for Ryan Blaney. He is the best in terms of statistically passing drivers on the track, but also, when you look at this new, there has been an increase in horsepower. When you increase the horsepower, the track also and the cars become a little bit slicker, harder to drive. When that's the case, tire wear is more in play as well. And when all those things factor in, that's where Ryan Blaney really excels at, the high-intensity braking zones, which a track like Phoenix really matters. And no one can roll through the corner better than Ryan Blaney. Christopher Bell should have won that race. To how Denny Hamlin should have won it in the fall and won the championship last year. Real quick on that, you know, when tires are important, you take 4 like Christopher Bell did, but with only 20 laps to go, Ryan Blaney takes 2. That's how he was able to get the advantage, and that's exactly how Denny lost the championship. When you go from the same team making the same mistakes, I just can't really fathom doing something like that, in which they did last year.
All right, let's talk about Las Vegas and get into it here with what's going on at the Pennzoil 400. Last year, it was Josh Berry that got the win in this race, and that feels like a lifetime ago, by the way. I mean, it really does. When you think about everything that's transpired in NASCAR since that race in Las Vegas last year where Josh Berry won, Daniel Suarez was the runner-up, Ryan Preece finished in third, and it feels like we've not talked about any of those guys since that race.
Yes, exactly true. Josh Berry, unfortunately, after that, really didn't have his season pan out the way he wanted it to. Was up there, had good speed, but then the other two guys as well. I would say Ryan Preece is a driver I will mention right now, because for intermediate styles, he said on pit road after that race, I was in the mix there, he said, you know, now we can have fun on these types of racetracks. And that's something to where they didn't necessarily have the speed in years prior, or at least for him with that types of racing specifically. Five top tens in the last 10 intermediate tracks for him. I think he goes out and have a really strong run. Top 10, he's plus money, plus 300 about that to get a top 10 finish at this track this year. And he showed consistent speed there. In terms of a winner, Kyle Larson's the guy. He's the favorite, and rightfully so. 1,317 laps run inside the top five at this track. And that's just within the next gen era, not even counting the, you know, stats he has all before that. So to me, the five car is the one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and it's like a second home for him. Jerry Bonkowski was feeling very sentimental on Monday. He said he'd love to see Kyle Busch win. We'd all love to see Kyle Busch win. Yeah. But at this point, is it realistic to expect him to even be in the mix here at 30-1, by the way?
It's really not realistic to think he has a shot to win. With all these cars bringing more speed, and I'll bring up this point too, 2311, they're now another group that has surpassed Kyle Busch and RCR right now. You know, with the speed, I think Bubba Wallace can win this weekend too. So great sort of segue there. He's 20-1 right now. With the speed that the 45 team has shown and his teammate with Tyler Reddick, not at this track, but this season, there's been an uptick. We've seen him really have that raw speed coming right off the truck. This is a track where Bubba Wallace has been fast at. He's been in contention to win the race here before. In 2022, him and Kyle Larson going for the lead got into it. Ended up getting into a little pushing match after that as well. But to me, I think Kyle Busch, can't consider him for the win, not at anywhere besides the Super Speedway right now. But I would look at Bubba as another contender with high value.
How about Tyler Reddick? He finally, you know, doesn't win a race last week. And I don't know, I was texting with somebody. He sort of felt like he was in that second tier when you talk about cars last week. He didn't have the car to win, but he still was, you know, he was hanging around. He was top 10 for most of that race. Give me a thought now with Reddick not getting a win and sort of being able to reset here.
I think he has another shot to win this race here. And another thing, too, when we talk about not only racing at Vegas, but the horsepower, I'm going to bring that up because the drivers were a little bit surprised last weekend to see how much they felt the difference. It is just a little bit of, 100 or so more horsepower than they had in this package last year. But when you're able to feel it, not only can you feel it, but the track's going to be slicker, a record high for temperatures at Vegas this weekend for the NASCAR Cup Series drivers on Sunday. I think those are accumulating to Tyler Reddick not only being fast, but with a slick racetrack and high tire wear, he's one of the best drivers because of the different grooves on the racetrack there. That's why I also mentioned Bubba Wallace, because with the different grooves and the intermediate high-speed style of racing, that's where they excel at the best.
All right, so you think Kyle Larson is the winner? You pick him to win?
I actually don't think he wins. I think he's probably going to dominate.
Wait, no, who wins?
He's a favorite. For a winner, I'm going to go with Christopher Bell. A hard loss last weekend. And Christopher Bell's a driver in the last five races, three top threes in this racetrack.
All right, Tino, going with Christopher Bell. I'll take Kyle Larson for the win. Always appreciate you, my friend. Be well.
Thank you.
All right, just about time to put the wraps on this baby for another Friday edition of the show. Don't forget, a few reminders for you. Sports Wrap Weekends. Monday through Friday, we do this one-hour version of the show. But did you know, on many of these same affiliates, we've got a 30-minute edition of the show that recaps all the stuff we talked about from the week that was. It's a good weekend, quick intake, 30 minutes. Go and check it out. If it's not on this station, check your local listings for time and schedule. Sports Wrap with Jason Page, the audio podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Monday through Friday, 60 minutes, cut down to 45 minutes because we take out most of the commercials. You can listen to it wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Odyssey, Amazon. Anywhere you get a podcast, you can listen to this show. Monday through Friday, we encourage you to subscribe and do so. We also have the Sports Wrap with Jason Page YouTube channel. This is the thing, the place for all things Sports Wrap. Monday through Friday, Sports Wrap with Jason Page YouTube channel. We have the daily TV version of the show. waiting there for you early every afternoon. Commercial free. Sitting there. 45 minutes. It's fantastic. We also have extended conversations that we can't fit into the show. We call it the Sports Wrap Spotlight. Today, that'll be Patrick McEnroe. You'll want to check that out later in the day. There'll be a special spot in the YouTube channel where you can go and see that entire conversation that I had with our friend Patrick McEnroe from ESPN TNT and Sirius XM Mad Dog Radio. So we have that. Then we have Sports Wrap Shorts, as if it couldn't get better. Sports Wrap Shorts, 1 to 3 minute long videos. When news breaks, we jump in on YouTube and we create Sports Wrap Shorts. So when a big story breaks and you want instant reaction, it's available there on our YouTube channel with Sports Wrap Shorts. Sports Wrap Shorts also available on our TikTok, Sports Wrap Jason Page, and on our Instagram, you guessed it, Sports Wrap Jason Page. Now, without any further delay on this Friday edition of the show, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for some odds and ends. Odds and ends. Well, it's just me today. UMass has done what no other team in basketball could do this year. They have beaten the one and only Miami of Ohio, and apparently they were playing the game at very high speeds. Miami of Ohio falling for the first time, and they fall in the quarterfinals of their conference tournament to UMass. Now, a lot of people are going to start wondering, and this goes back to what we were talking about at the top of the show today. UMass beating Miami of Ohio in the quarterfinals of the MAC conference championship. Does that eliminate this idea of Miami of Ohio making it into the NCAA tournament? Will they still get an at-large bid with one loss? But again, we got to take the joy off things. So what are we going to talk about? Their weak schedule. The fact that they had like the 352nd weakest schedule in all of college basketball, which is why they were able to accumulate an undefeated regular season record and then fall in the conference tournament. Again, is it taking the joy off it or is it pointing it out? When you're trying to find the 68 best teams to compete for the NCAA tournament, I guess it's a fair point. I still think they should be in based on their body of work this year. I think the undefeated regular season should count for something. And we're going to find out soon enough if indeed it does, because their loss to UMass yesterday certainly took some of the shine, at least for some people, off what they accomplished. And now a lot of people are trying to make the argument for Auburn, whether or not Auburn belongs in this tournament instead of UMass. So we'll see what happens on Sunday. Odds and ends. You see Ryan Fox on the screen. You probably don't know who Ryan Fox is. He's won on the PGA Tour. He was supposed to be competing at the Players' Championship this weekend at TPC Sawgrass, where they're in the middle of the second round. One problem, Ryan Fox couldn't compete. He had to back out of the tournament. Why? Kidney stones. He actually had to have surgery to have kidney stones removed. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because we often question the toughness of professional athletes when they're hurt. You know, the rest thing in the NBA that we all go crazy about. Babying athletes. I will tell you from experience, though, and this is why I bring this up. I can relate to this. About maybe 11, 12 years ago, I had kidney stones. I was living in Brooklyn at the time. I was working for NBC Sports. I had kidney stones that were so bad, they literally took me off the air. I had to go to the hospital, spend an entire night in the ER. Kidney stones are brutal. I got hit by a Mack truck when I was 13. Nothing hurt in that Mack truck accident, and I was paralyzed from the waist down briefly. Nothing hurt me as bad as having kidney stones. And eventually they pass and life moves on. But I just want to say to Ryan Fox, if you're out there, Ryan, and you're watching this in your hospital bed after having kidney stones removed, I feel for you, man. We've been there. It's not fun. Hope you feel better soon and you're back out on the tour in no time. That's going to wrap it up for us on this Friday edition of the show. Enjoy the World Baseball Classic this weekend. Selection Sunday this weekend. The NCAA tournament is right around the corner. It's going to be fantastic. all the NBA action. Sam Yarnell will return on Monday. He was off today. He had something to do. I'm not going to say what it was, but let's just say he probably had a better time doing that than I did hosting this show by myself. For all of our guests, Patrick McEnroe, Robert Latall, Tino Patino, I'm Jason Page. We'll catch you back here on Monday or this weekend for Sports Wrap Weekends. Bye-bye.